My interview today is with Shanti Feldhahn, the author of For Women Only. Ladies, let's learn about how our men think and work. Hi, my name is Trina Glines, and this is Elevate Your Marriage and Life podcast. This podcast is for those who want to create happiness daily, even among the chaos that marriage and family life will bring. Get ready to elevate your marriage and life today. Welcome, ladies, to Elevate Your Marriage and Life podcast. This is Trina Glines, and today I have a real treat for you. I have been looking forward to this interview with Shanti Feldhahn, the author of For Women Only and For Men Only, as well as several other books that she has. And I am so excited to get to visit with her today and to ask her some questions about her research on this book that when I found it, I fell in love with it. Before I even got into the second chapter, I knew I was going to love this book. So just let me share a little bit of a background about Shanti. She received her graduate degree from Harvard University and was an analyst on Wall Street before unexpectedly becoming a social researcher, best-selling author, and popular speaker. Today, she applies her analytical skills to investigating eye-opening, life-changing truths about relationships both at home and in the workplace. Her groundbreaking research-based books, such as For Women Only, have sold more than 2 million copies in 24 languages and are widely read in homes, counseling centers, and corporations worldwide. I am really excited to get to have these few moments with her and want to thank Shanti for her time. Ladies, here is Shanti. Shanti, welcome. I am so grateful to you for taking the time out of your busy schedule. I can only imagine how busy you are to meet with me today. I really want to give you a heartfelt thank you and welcome to Elevate Your Marriage and Life podcast.
Thank you. It's really a delight. I love your topics, obviously. And so it is really a delight to connect with you.
Oh, well, thank you. I felt like when I first found For Women Only that I had uncovered a treasure, a true treasure. That's how I look at it. And I've read this one as well as For Men Only. And then your morning devotion or your daily devotional book. What's the name of that one again?
It's called Find Rest.
Okay, Find Rest. So that book actually, with my membership for women, we're going to be reading that one in November and December. So, awesome. So I figured that was like the perfect month to start it in finding, rest in those busy seasons.
Yes, that is a very, very good time to do that one.
Yes. And I just feel, honestly, I feel really honored to be able to get to learn from you today and to share this with my listeners. So again, thank you for your work. Let's get right into that, because that's kind of where my first question goes to, is that you are well known for helping women to understand men. And your book, For Women Only, actually has sold over 1 million copies in 24 languages. Congratulations, by the way, that's amazing.
Oh, thanks.
But how are you as a woman able to tell us what men are thinking and about men? How did you get started in this expertise?
I know everybody, especially the guys, everybody always asks me that. You know, it's hilarious because I kind of interview every man I come across now that I'm a social researcher. And I'll explain that in a second. But it's funny because they always are like, they look at me very skeptically. And then they say, okay, so what are you going to tell these women about us? And I start listing the things that I say, you know, and it's astounding to watch these men are like, oh my gosh, that's so true. That's so true. Oh my, that's what I've always wished I could like explain to my wife or whatever. So it actually, listen, I never expected to be here. This was not something that I initially set out to do. I really have to confess, I just stumbled over this initially, because I'm actually not a a therapist. I'm not a marriage counselor. Like all the people who normally talk about relationships, that is so not my background. I actually was an analyst on Wall Street. And when my husband and I moved to Atlanta, which is where we live now, this whole thing started because I had this chance to write a few novels. And one of the main characters in this novel that I was writing was a man. And I realized I didn't know how to put thoughts in his head. Like I have no idea, what a guy would be thinking. And in some pretty personal situations, and I obviously had to say what my main character was thinking. And so this whole thing started because I would talk to guys and ask them, like, here's the scene. What would you be thinking if this was you? And as these men started telling me what they'd really be thinking, half the time I was like, are you serious? Like, I was so shocked by some of the things I was hearing. And it sort of lent itself to kind of the analyst hat went on at that point. And I went, all right, like this is really important stuff. I realized what I was hearing. It wasn't just that it was surprising. I realized what I was hearing from these men as I started to do more and more of these interviews. What I was hearing was really, really foundational. It wasn't things that they thought like, it kind of came up once every few months. Like these things were things that they thought or they felt every day, multiple times a day. I at that point I'd been married about 8 years, and of course I'm thinking, why haven't I heard this before? That's really what started all of this, and so it ended up becoming this unexpected, massive national research study about men. And then unexpectedly, once For Women Only, the book came out, it just exploded and became this bestseller. And the revenue from that book then, funded the study for the next book and the next book. And so now I've done over the years, I'm now starting my ninth nationally representative study about all these different topics about relationships. But it all started because of that novel.
Wow. Oh my word, that is so cool. I like little did you
Crazy.
know. Little did you know where this journey was going to take you. And
Seriously.
I think that is so cool that it came out that way, that you're just trying to find some thoughts and wording to put in this novel of this man's head, and that obviously you had so many light bulbs go off. And I'm assuming, and I shouldn't assume, assuming is never good, but I'm assuming, like, I can imagine in my own head going, never in a million years would I have thought you thought that. Where?
Exactly.
Nobody's talking about this.
I know it was insane. Like I literally would come home from like, okay, it got so bad. I was so obsessed by this that I would like ride the subway back and forth between the, the two end stations on the subway and talking to guys. And I'd travel and speak on this, and heaven help the poor man stuck next to me on the airplane for 2 hours. Because it was really good data. Like I had no idea who he was, so he could be completely honest. But every time, I would come back and I would talk to Jeff, my husband, and I would say, guess what this guy told me? And Jeff tells me later, he was too polite to say it at the time, but he was thinking, what about that did you not know before? That is like men 101. And it really honestly, as I started sharing this with other women, and I realized there, obviously there's some things that we as women knew, of course, but there was this whole world inside our men that we just really weren't aware of. So it was neat to be able to actually quantify some of that because everybody's an individual. So it's like, okay, where can we make generalizations? And what are the numbers? And oh my goodness, 82% of men think that way. My husband is not just weird.
Yes. Oh, I can imagine your husband. There was probably moments he's looking, like you said, looking at you like, and this is new news to you?
Exactly.
We've been married how long and you didn't all know this already? So I think that, well, and I find in my own personal experience as well, when we come upon those discoveries on our own, they almost solidify in us even more so truth. And that obviously resonated with you so well. And thank you again for sharing your truth with us. And that kind of takes us into this next little part where we know already that men and women are different in many ways, but people often assume that those differences come from how we were raised and from social expectations. But I've heard you disagree with this, to a point, anyway, I'm assuming. Do you want to share why?
Yeah, of course. So it's not that I disagree that those differences come from, nurture, not just nature, because of course they do, right? We all are product of both. And every scientific study that has been done, we all know that. However, it's become a bit, I don't know, it's become kind of almost the wishful thinking answer to say that, well, most of those differences come from, how we're raised or what we encounter in our lives. And the reality really truly is that our brains literally are wired differently. There is so much of nature actually involved in this, and it interacts with nurture, of course. It interacts with certain expectations, and we can go in all sorts of different directions. And our brains are plastic to some degree. There's a lot of things that can change, but ultimately, you generally either have a male brain or you have a female brain. And there are some really, really striking differences. One of the examples that to me is a it gets in the way sometimes of relationships, or it can actually cause an opportunity for greater intimacy. That to me is a really basic one is literally the male brain is wired to process things differently than the female brain. And obviously there's exceptions to this. There's about roughly about 20% of people have what the brain scientists call bridge brains, which means that they have certain aspects that could be, from the other. But literally, we as women, we are wired to think things through by talking them through. Like that's just one of the things that our brain is wired. We have all sorts of connections between the left and right hemispheres of the brain. We have a lot of different connections to the verbal centers, to the emotional centers. And that's literally a brain wiring thing from the earliest days as a baby. But it's interesting, the male brain starting at about 8 weeks in utero, so in the womb, very, very early on, a wash of testosterone floods over the baby's brain and it changes those connections. And so there's not the connections between the hemispheres of the brain may be bigger, but there's not as many of them. And it's literally what happens is it is actively difficult for a man to think something through while he's talking it through. And so he has to go underground. And literally, it's almost like the men described it to me as almost like an internal chess match where they think about, okay, I'm thinking about doing this, but wait, if I do that, then this thing has to have happened before. And they do this whole like internal processing. And meanwhile, we as women, if it's something, it's a big, well, should we do this with the kids? Or what are you thinking about this? We're like following them around the house, like, what are you thinking about what I just said? And my husband would say, I don't know what I'm thinking. And of course, as a woman, I'm like, how can you not know what you're thinking? And so literally, that's just a silly little example. It's a minor little thing. At least it seems minor, but it really can get in the way. And so an example to me, once I realized this, was like, oh my gosh, not just for my husband, for my son, that when I start pushing them to say, well, what are you thinking? What should we do? And why are you, don't you care? You're not willing to talk about this. And if I can just chill for a minute and let them have the space to do the internal processing, then I will get a much better answer.
Oh yeah. It totally, you just I guess taught us all the
importance and benefit we can receive of learning how the other one works, learning how your husband works, how men think in general and work, like your book teaches, because now you are going to be able to adapt and resonate with them in their way.
Right. Well, it's basically, it's kind of do unto others, right? As you have them do unto you. It's like, we want them to do the same thing for us, right? I mean, that's, it's the same thing that, yeah, you may have had a really hard day at work. You know, I had a hard day at work. I really need you to listen to me. I really need you to listen to how I'm feeling. Like, this is one of the things when we did the study of women to help them, yeah, them understand us. You know, this was one of the biggies, you know, for women, we really want them to set aside that tendency to just jump in and say, okay, here's what you need to do. And you feel like you're not listening. And it's because you're not listening to how I'm feeling. Okay, that doesn't really come naturally to most men. Because they're not verbal processors, but we still want them to do it. And they learn how to do it. And it makes us feel incredibly cared for. And it's the same thing when we learn some of the things that are hard for them, or some of the things that make them feel like we really appreciate them, or the ways that that they need to process. They feel cared for when we say, you know what, I really need an answer to this, but I know you need the time to process. And I'll show you then, giving you that. That actually makes a man feel cared for.
Wow. Yeah. And how simple that really can be. I mean, yes, it's a challenge for us when we want to talk in that moment, but when we learn that, we can release the feelings of, he doesn't want to talk to me, he doesn't care about me, he won't share with me, he won't, you know, all that negative narrative going on in our heads.
Yep.
Right? Like, that's can actually be really freeing to get rid of all of those assumptions.
Oh, it's absolutely freeing, because, you know, it sounds like your brain goes the same way that most women's brains do. Mine does too. I think in our survey, it was 87. I have to look up the number, but about, I think it was 87% of women. We have all these thoughts pop up, like, he doesn't care. Like, he's, you know, he's prioritizing something else. He's doing this. He doesn't want to talk. And you know, okay, maybe that could be the case in some instances, but not the majority. I mean, most of the time, it's literally, this is a well-intentioned man. This is a man who cares about me. And he just is a different human. He has a different brain. So that's a long answer to the, no, it's not all social. but it is important for us to confront that easy kind of wishful thinking, popular idea that it's all nurture, and it's not.
Yeah. I love how you explain that with, you know, I mean, there's the science behind it of the, how our brains are wired and what takes place. I mean, that just completely resonated with me and made sense with me. And so I love that. And I agree with you. It's the nurture and nature that's combining together. And there's some of that nature that we didn't necessarily have any part of. It's just who we are. It's our DNA makeup as a female or as a male. I love that. So this kind of takes me into this next question that I'm curious about. What's something that you feel we most need to know about men? You know, you said that there's some hidden concerns under the surface that we don't necessarily see all the impacts of what happens there to a man. What are some thoughts on that that you have?
Hey, listen, I'm so glad you brought that up, because honestly, I, when I speak at women's events, or when Jeff and I do marriage events, we always say, look, if you forget everything else that we've said today and remember one thing, just let it be this one. And it really comes down to it for us as women, realizing that our men look so strong and confident in themselves. And yet, deep underneath the surface, there is a true insecurity and vulnerability and self-doubt that we don't even know is there. Mm-hmm. And it's running under the surface every moment of the day. And it's not necessarily conscious, but it's always there. underneath the surface. And it's this kind of this feeling, the way the guys described it, it was almost like they said, you know, they want to really tackle a challenge. They want to really be good at being a husband or being a father or whatever they're trying to do at work or whatever, right? Like they really want to be good at what they do. And yet at the same time, there's this constant narrative, their narrative is this feeling like, but I'm really not sure that I know what I'm doing. And I'm really hoping that nobody finds out. The self-doubt. And the problem is, it's a different self-doubt than we have. What we always tell people, if you remember one thing, is that we have different sets of primary insecurities. And it means that different things are going to hurt our spouse's feelings or our partner's feelings than would hurt ours. And because of that, there are different needs. There are different things that light us up because it's responding to those insecurities. And so the easiest way to remember this is to think that for us as women, the question underneath the surface for us is essentially, am I lovable, right? I mean,
yeah.
And there's exceptions to this, but this was about 82% of women. It's this sense of, am I lovable? Am I special? It's essentially, am I worthy of being loved for who I am on the inside? Which is why we love to feel loved. And that's kind of what is the whole point of having the relationship, right? It's a big surprise to find out for men, that's not the point at all. And that for them, the question isn't, am I lovable? It's, am I able? Am I adequate? Am I any good at what I do on the outside? So for us, am I worthy of being loved for who I am on the inside? For them, it's, am I any good at what I do on the outside? And so it lends itself to a totally different set of self-doubts and needs. And so that right there is the reason you can tell your husband, I love you all day long. And it'll just be kind of nice because it's not speaking to his primary insecurity.
Mm-hmm. When I first read this in your book, this chapter on this, I had so many aha moments of times when I would ask my man a question. And we've been married 27 years, been together for a while now, with five children, a lot of life between us, you know, and I would ask him a question, assuming he's the protector, he's the provider, he's the man, he's the guy out there, he should know the answer. And then when he didn't know it, I'd be irritated. Like, really, hon? Seriously?
Oh,
and I look back now, I'm like, why would I assume he would just know? I don't know very much. I'm like, where does this come that men should just know this stuff? And when they don't, then we question their competence.
Yep. Well, and the other thing that we often do without realizing it, and it's not intentional, and this is what we always tell the men, like, really, truly, this is not intentional, is that we have this way of criticizing them and telling them they're not able and they're not adequate without ever meaning to send that message. And I'll give you like just the silliest example.
Okay.
Because this was one of these, you know, the guy next to me on the airplane example.
<Yes.
laughs> That was so simple, but it really hit me. I was actually coming home from speaking at a big women's conference. And he was like, okay, what did you tell them? And I explained I explained this topic. And he said, oh my goodness. He said, so often my wife, you know, as we're talking, she doesn't realize just how often she's sending me the signal, because he used this phrase that I think many of us as women have heard from our man and had no idea what he was talking about. He said, look, I love my wife, but nothing I do is ever good enough for her. And you know, most of us as women are like, what the heck does that mean?
Yeah.
like, I don't even know where to put that. And so I said, give me an example. And he said, last night, so he was explaining something that had just happened the night before, little minor thing. They had had friends over for dinner. The kitchen was a bit of a wreck. His wife had to go out after dinner to a meeting. And she said, honey, you know, would you be willing to just clean up the kitchen while I'm out so that when I come home, we can go right to bed? And he was like, yeah, sure. You know, no problem. He said, so I cleaned the kitchen and she comes home and she looks over my shoulder into the kitchen and kind of goes, huh. And she grabbed a sponge and starts recleaning all the countertops. And he said, it just kills me that nothing I do is ever good enough for her. And so it's the funniest thing, because if I tell that story at a women's conference, I can see every face in the room have the same expression that I had the first, 20 times I heard these examples, which is essentially, we're honestly thinking, dude, get over it. Like, you are so oversensitive. This should not bother you. And finally, I realized, wait a minute. The reason I am saying that should not bother you is that it wouldn't bother me. And he's not me. He's wired in this way where his greatest fear, his greatest pain is not being good at what he tried to do. So without realizing it, her taking out the sponge and starting recleaning all the countertops tells him, no, you're not good at what you do on the outside. You failed. And we think it shouldn't matter, but it does. And so for us, learning these, essentially these raw nerves, and going, okay, how can I send a different message? It makes all the difference. Like literally, if you will learn what hits that nerve and find a different way to address things that really need to be addressed, and if you'll find a way to build them up in the ways that speak directly to that raw nerve, oh my gosh, it changes everything.
Oh, I agree with you. I completely agree with you 100%, 110%, because I've made those changes in my own marriage. I don't do it perfectly. And I always tell women, perfection is not reality, and you'll drive yourself crazy trying to reach perfection. But as we do try and we work on that, and now as I've worked on making sure I'm speaking my man's language and not fixing what he just did, I learned that it really did exactly what you said. It made him feel inadequate. It made him feel like whatever he did wasn't good enough, just like the statement the gentleman on the airplane told you.
Well, it makes such a difference for us as women once we realize that their feelings are legitimate. That's really the thing that we have to come to. And that's the hard part for us, is we think it's just stupid. Like, why should that bother you? Honestly, we would want them to take what makes us feel upset as legitimate. Like, how would I feel if my husband started teasing me about needing to lose 10 pounds and he said, oh, you're so oversensitive. Like, oh my gosh, like that would be horrible. And so I want him to accept my raw nerve as legitimate. And so, and this is not unusual, right? This is the vast majority of men. Anywhere from 75 to 85% of men said that this is a huge deal. The cool thing, though, if you don't mind me just jumping into sort of the positive side, is that it lends itself really to a neat sort of unseen opportunity to really build intimacy in our relationship and to really build a strong marriage and to build a strong partnership. And it's, this, by the way, is a big deal, not just a romantic relationship, but with a son. And it's essentially to realize that what builds him up most isn't hearing, I love you. We went on this long quest, really, in all these different research studies to find out, what is it you can say to a man that has that emotional impact on him that I love you does on us? Because obviously, I love you speaks directly to our insecurity. So it turns out that what speaks to theirs are literally the words, thank you. That for a man is the equivalent of I love you emotionally, because it says, I noticed this thing that you did on the outside, right? I noticed that you did this. So that's sort of the first thing it says. And then it says, and it was good, and I appreciate it. Like, you say thank you, it wraps up all of those statements into one. And it fills a man up in every way he needs to be filled.
And then we are the beneficiaries of that.
That is true.
I mean, there's so many reasons why we should work on exactly what you just said. But truly, I mean, I love how you worded it to create a real connection, an intimate connection, besides, like you said, sexually, but just that connection, security of in our relationship. I've felt it. And so I believe in it completely, 100%.
I always tell women who, because there are going to be women who don't believe in it, right? There are going to be women listening to this who think, well, why should I have to say thank you? Like, you know, it's just, he's just doing his job when he's cleaning the kitchen or he's taking out the dishes or whatever, you know, I mean, it's just his job. Why should I have to say thank you? And the reality is, okay, you don't have to do anything, but it's kind of like that Dr. Phil statement, like, yes. How's that working for you? You know? And the reality is, if you're not sure that you believe what I'm saying, don't believe me. Just try it. Try it. Like, look every day for the next week for, let's just say, two things a day you can say thank you for. Just watch. Try to withhold that you didn't do it right kind of thing. And for just for the next week, look for things to say thank you for. Just do that twice a day. You may see these astounding changes.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I've seen it, so I know it works. I know it works. I mean, my man is like, you know, thanks for, you know, he's just like, I feel like you appreciate me so much more. And I don't know, Shanti, maybe this will resonate with you as well. The thing that has clicked for me and when I share with women is, say a light bulb burns out and I need to change a light bulb. I go and I change the light bulb because the light bulb burns out. But if I ask my man, will you please replace this light bulb? And he says, yes, he did not replace that light bulb because the light bulb was burnt out. He replaced it for me. So it totally changed it. And if you don't say thank you, then he's like, I didn't win. Why'd I do that?
I know. That is a perfect way of putting it. That's exactly it. And the thing is, it doesn't come naturally to our lips to say thank you for some reason. Like, we may be thinking it, like, oh, that's nice of him.
Yeah.
But if we don't say it, he has no idea.
Yes.
And he's feeling like, I must not have done it right. You know, I mean, that sounds silly, but no, I mean, truly, men, we cannot overestimate how much on the inside they are wondering, am I any good at what I do for her? Am I any good at what I do for this family? It's truly like there's the men said, I'm really, there's a little boy inside who just wants to please the most important woman in his life.
That so pulled at my heartstrings when you talked about that in the chapter in your book. Just, I have four sons and how I wish I would have read this many, many years ago. My baby's now 18. So, you know, it just pulled at my heartstrings of going, oh my word, like I did not realize that hidden self-doubt. I did not know about that.
It does not matter. It's like, I always tell women, it's like, I went years without understanding this stuff, and it is amazing what happens when you just start from now. Like, start today. It's astounding. First of all, guys are way more forgiving than we women are. You know, if you have a difficult situation, it's amazing. Like, it's like, oh, I didn't realize it. Now I realized it. I'm going to try this. And it's just, everything can change. They don't hold grudges usually in the way we do. I think that's horrible. I don't know why we do that, but statistically, we more have a tendency to. So I always tell women, just start. Right. That's all. Just start.
And I believe guilt or regret is good in the moment to teach you that there might be something better, but then you have to let it go or it will freeze you in your steps and you're not going to, you know, move forward with intention. So it's like, oh, I recognize this is an error and I'm going to try better. And like you said, just try it. And yes, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful change in a relationship. My husband and I's relationship is so much stronger since I've recognized our differences. And in the same sense, I'm also, you know, teaching him a little bit more about me, because now it's almost like when I read your book for men only, it makes so much sense, but I never could put in the words to teach him.
Yeah, exactly. Me either. I mean, you should have seen, as I was doing the research study on women, right, for that book, I spent the whole time going, oh my gosh, it's not just me. I'm not just women.
Yes. It was like, thank you, Shanti, for putting it all into words. Now we can figure out how to share this part. You know, it's very empowering for us to have that. And, you know, my next question is one that I think, you know, is a big topic that often might not be discussed enough.
Okay.
That I would love for you to highlight, because it spoke truth to me. And I know it speaks to truth to many women, but I know there's also a lot of women that really struggle with physical intimacy in their marriage and what they assume physical intimacy means to their husbands. And there's a misunderstanding there. Do you want to just highlight that for us?
How much time do we have?
Whoa, so I'm like, oh, I don't want to miss this question.
I know. Let me just give the short version, because this is a really, really important one. But for the sake of time, here's the bottom line, is that we think of physical intimacy in marriage as being primarily a physical need for him. That's the kind of the category we put it in. Like, it's a physical need. It's a physical urge. And you know, when you've been running around all day, sleep seems like a physical need as well. And it's astounding. As I was talking to the men and asking them, okay, so what's the importance of this physical connection? What's the importance of this in your life? What I heard from them had nothing to do with the physical. What I heard from them was entirely this enormous emotional need that a man can't get met any other way. And here's what the need is. It's the need that every man has to feel that his wife desires him and that she wants him. And it turns out, if a guy feels that way, if he feels like his wife desires him, it's really interesting. It gives him this sense of confidence and sort of a sense of well-being in every other area of his life, not just in the bedroom. Like, it builds him up as a person in this sort of interesting way. And it works in reverse too. Like, if he doesn't feel desired, if he feels like it's too easy for his wife to say, you know what, I'm just so tired, it gives him this feeling like, I must be so undesirable. I can't even compete with her pillow. And it almost gives him a sense of a lack of confidence and a lack of well-being in the other areas of his life. It really is what you're hearing there. That's not primarily a physical need. That really is this deep core emotional need of around how they're wired. So this is one of these things that once I realized that, I started to understand with my husband, and statistically, this is most men. It's not all. There's going to be some couples listening to this who are flipped, you know, about 20-25% of couples are flipped on this. But for the majority, it really helped me understand just why, you know, there would be seasons where my husband would almost be withdrawn. Like, it would almost be sort of flat. And that when I really started to realize this was a priority and it was important to him, and it's important to us as women too, but we're wired so differently, that once I started realizing how much of a priority that was, and I started to see that Jeff was so much more engaged. He was so much softer. He's always a kind man, but he had this sort of very presentness in his kindness. And I realized, wow, this really is because he was feeling this sense of a lack of confidence in his life. And now he isn't. Now he's feeling loved by me.
Yeah, I think that was such a powerful finding that you found and have shared with all of us. It did speak truth to me. I've seen with working with women, the struggles they have in that area. And I can remember back when I, you know, newly married and a few years in and stuff, I just felt like, oh, he just wants it. He just wants a piece of meat, you know?
Exactly. Yep, exactly.
And we take that as such a negative. It's so negative to us.
We feel like, oh, he's just objectifying. He doesn't want me. And that's the furthest thing from the truth. Yeah. There's actually a deep emotional desire for connection in that way. And it's connection with us. And it's so, so powerful. And it's back to the brain wiring, you know, the physiological differences between men and women. Really interesting, you know, oxytocin is the bonding hormone. It's what makes you feel connected to someone, right? And so, you know, women, we have oxytocin released in our brains many, many times, like literally anything from nursing a baby, you have oxytocin released and it makes you feel so close. Or you're sitting there and having a deep conversation with your husband or a deep intimate conversation with a close friend. Oxytocin is released. You feel so close to that person. Well, guess when and only when oxytocin is released in the male brain.
Is it only during intimacy? Oh my word, I didn't know that.
Yep, that is when it is released in men. And there are some exceptions to this. Again, this is a generalization. But in general, statistically, that is true of the vast majority of men and the vast majority of cases. And that is one reason why you may be disconnected from each other. And he reaches for you that night. And you're thinking, are you kidding me? You know, I want to be close outside the bedroom before I'm ready to be close inside the bedroom. But he is feeling that same lack of closeness and he is longing for that to be rebuilt. And this is the way he automatically reaches for that connection. It's connection with you. It is not connection with your body. It isn't. He is longing to reestablish that emotional connection with you.
The word that just kept popping into my head as you described that last little bit is understanding this allows you to repair so many areas.
Yeah, it does.
Right?
Totally.
Like repair just kept jumping back into my mind. Like our assumptions have gotten us into trouble, and understanding how he thinks and works and how you think and work can repair so many things. And this intimacy part is such a big part of marriage. It really is. And not talked about enough. I've got to skip a couple of questions I was going to ask you, but I really want you to share this because I read, and I'm not sure where I read this, that you suggest or have suggested to couples before, and there's been groups that have done this. I think every person who's going to get married when they're engaged, they should be doing this, where you suggest they read the book about themselves first and then they swap. Would you share a little bit about that and what feedback you've received from couples who have done that?
Oh, sure. Yeah. It's interesting. I wish we could say we came up with this idea, but the reality is actually that there's thousands of churches that require these books as their premarital counseling. And one of them came up with this idea and we've recommended it ever since, where literally instead of her reading for women only about him and him reading for men only about her, you switch books and you read the book about yourself first, but you read it with a pen or a highlighter or something in hand, and you circle and make notes on those things that are so important to you. Like, this passage so describes me, or this quote that this woman said, or this quote that this man said, that is exactly how I feel. Or in those cases where, well, I'm in the 20% here, you know, this isn't me. And so you go through all the way. And then when you trade the books back, you're now reading a personalized copy. You're reading exactly those things that are so crucial to your husband. And your husband is reading those things that are so crucial, so important to you. And it's really fascinating. This is not rocket science, but we've heard it really isn't. It is so simple. And yet we've heard the most astounding things from people when they've gone through this. And sometimes, you know, a spouse isn't willing to do that. And so just reading, you know, just, okay, read your book on your own. That's fine. But if you are willing to do this as a couple, and it is actually one of the ways to get men to read a book, because it's really validating to him. He's reading the book about himself as a dude first, right? It's really validating. And so many men are just so touched and fascinated by finally being able to put their thoughts and feelings into words. So anyway, it really does give you a great opportunity for connection.
I think it's such a great idea. I'm from this point on, this will be my wedding gifts to couples. I'm just like, it's so needed. And had I had some of this information, back years ago, wow, what a difference it would have made. And so, Shanti, you're amazing. Thank you so much for blessing marriages. I just.
Well, thank you. Seriously, thank you for what you do, because this is so crucial. I mean, obviously what you're doing is so my heart. So, blessings. Keep going.
Yes, I'm just I we need people fighting for marriage. We need people fighting for this union that, in my mind, and I believe in yours as well, is a blessing from God. And we, I believe the underlining teaching from everything that you share and from most people that share in this area is it's really down to respect, mutual respect of each other, right? And honoring each other as different beings, because we really are. And you have done that beautifully in the work that you have done. And so thank you. Thank you for the time. I can't imagine all the research and time that you have spent in creating these books. And I'm excited that you're on your ninth study now, and I can't wait to
I
find out
know.
what it is. So
Oh, well, I can tell you, here's a sneak peek for you and your
yes,
listeners.
please.
So we're actually, Jeff and I, this next study is we are diving in to study why we fight about money. It's so interesting because we found, like, when we were talking about sex, right, we're talking about physical intimacy, and what you were hearing there is it wasn't about that.
Yes.
Like, it was other stuff under the surface. And it turns out it's the same thing. Money is such a big deal in relationships, and nobody wants to talk about
Yes.
it. It's because it's not about the money. There's so much other stuff. So we figure if we can figure out what are those little things that are under the surface and sort of dig out some really simple truths that can help you go, okay, wow, okay, got it. And I'll just handle things just a little bit differently. And suddenly we don't have tension anymore.
Oh.
Hopefully
I
that'll be
cannot
helpful.
wait. I cannot wait. I'm so excited about that. It's going to
Okay,
be
good.
so helpful. And I agree with you that the intimacy part can be such a struggle, but that money part, it's probably on equal levels.
Exactly.
So I thank you for sharing that with us. Ladies, I'm super excited for us to get to be the beneficiaries once again of your research and studying. So that's going to be great.
Well,
Well,
thanks.
thank you, Shanti. I hope in the future we will get to have a chat again. There's so much more I would love to ask you and talk to you about and your other books. So maybe we can work something out. But
No hesitation on my part. I
great.
love what you're doing forward to that.
That will be great. Thank you so much. And you have a great day.
Thanks so
All right.
much.
Bye-bye. Thank you for joining me today. I hope that something in this interview with Shanti touched your heart to kind of reiterate to you that we only have control over our part, right? And that we have the ability as women, as wives, to learn and understand how men, how boys think and work, which allows you to get rid of those assumptions, allows you to get rid of so many frustrations, and it's actually super freeing. Maybe share this podcast with your husband and ask him if he'd be up for reading those two books the way Shanti explained to us. I think it's such a powerful idea. And honestly, we need to stop this craziness of getting married with zero tools, going through marriage with zero tools and understanding, and just continuing to build resentments and frustrations. There's such a better way. And so I challenge you, look for ways that you can work on yourself and improving
yourself as well as gaining knowledge of how your spouse thinks and works so you can enjoy the freedoms that come with that and a stronger relationship with your man, and I will include with your sons. So thank you again for joining me today. If you found this podcast to be helpful, I would love for you to share it. Leave me a review. Follow me on Instagram at Trina Glines if you want some weekly reminders on how to live a happier life. My goal is to just share with women ways to increase their happiness. And so I hope that you have a great rest of your day and a happy week. Thank you.